Anyhow, sure, this is an incredible privilege for me to just share on the word this morning. It's been something that's been in my heart for a number of weeks, and then Ryan phoned and said, hey, would you like to share? And I was like, oh my goodness, because for me, this was such a weighty word, and you're still dealing with it. It's like a big, meaty meal, and you know, it's like popcorn. You can eat a whole bag quickly and don't really feel it, but this was just different for me. And I thought, sure, Jesus, is this what I should be sharing? And I didn't get anything else, so I stuck with the game plan. I'm guessing that is it. And if I had to give it a title, it would be How to Remedy Spiritual Boredom in Your Life. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question, and the question is going to be this. Do you ever get bored with church or with your own spiritual life? Okay, so before you answer, let me remind you what the definition of bored is. It is feeling weary and impatient because one is unoccupied or lacks interest in one's current activity. Okay, or it's to feel weary and uninterested by dull talk or behavior. So that's the definition of being bored. And some of the synonyms also just to maybe help that unpack it a bit is a lack of enthusiasm, lack of interest, a lack of concern, apathy, uninterestedness, unconcern, frustration, dissatisfaction, relentlessness, dullness, monotony, repetitiveness, etc., etc., etc. So let me ask you the question again. Don't put up your hand, just to your own self. Do you ever get bored with church or your spiritual life? I'm not going to lie. I'll share my answer with you. It has happened. Before I was a sixfold evangelist, it has happened. Did I get bored? For some reason, I don't know, because the sermons are great. You know, there's 412 apps and we can listen to all these things. It's incredible. I mean, there's not a lack of word. But yet somehow, some way, I run out of gas. And I feel maybe despondent. All those words are so descriptive. You know, lack of enthusiasm. You know, I'm a little bit moany and, you know, moany paloney or what, you know, whatever it might be, a bit mopey, that one blue day in 100 or 1,000 for some. But you know what I mean? It's just, do you ever get bored? And when last were you bored? With church. But more particularly your own life, your own spiritual walk. Okay, so today, hopefully, by the grace of God, because the vessel is not able, but may His Word and the Holy Spirit just plant something and, you know, do something in our hearts that we can see what the remedy is for the spiritual boredom that we have. Okay, second question, last one. If Jesus were to ask you the reason for your boredom, what would you tell Him? Yeah, hectic at work, man. I don't know. Got two small lights, those guys. They're not sleeping. I'm a little bit tired. I'm having to cook my own meals. You know, the Woolies ran out of the ready-made stuff. And, you know, I don't know. What would you tell Jesus? I'm guessing that most of us would have, at some stage, gone through a bored patch, uninterested. What would we tell Jesus? So, let us read. Okay? You can think of your answer. You can think of your own life. And I want to read the scripture and then give you the punchline of the sermon before I go into the details. So we're going to read James 1, verse 18 to 25. And just hold those two questions in the back of your mind. Okay, verse 18. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind, that we should be a kind of a first fruits of His creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perceives, being no hearer, who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction to keep oneself unstained from the world. So the passage that I absolutely want to highlight, the one single verse that's going to be highlighted and that's going to be ultimately the remedy for this spiritual boredom and perhaps with church and just with God and, you know, disillusionment, is going to be the following. It's verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So there's one primary reason why people get spiritually bored. It's very simple, actually. Knowledge without application eventually becomes boring and unfulfilling. Look, the Word of God is amazing. We know this. It is the only standard. It is the bedrock. It is what we build our lives upon. There's so much has been said, can be said, and should be said about the Word of God. However, hearing the Word of God is not enough. Knowing the Word of God is not enough. That's, again, we see that in James. We have to receive that Word. It has to take root in our hearts. Verse 21 speaks of, therefore, put away all the filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. It's almost like a seed falling in and then shooting, you know, little roots and just gripping around the heart. There's something that I'm receiving it. If the soil rejects that, nothing can happen. But the word we have to receive, and the word you're specifically referring there to is the gospel. We have two options, two choices when we hear the gospel. We can either receive or reject. And James is speaking to a Jewish Christian community. The guys just kind of scattered, you know, just outside Palestine. And by the way, James is the brother of Jesus. If there was anybody who had reason to doubt him because he was fake or whatever, it would have been him, but he wasn't. He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He was James the Just was his nickname. How about that? That's quite incredible. I mean, the credentials are there. And he says this thing. It's not enough to just hear it. We have to receive that word. And my prayer this morning is that the boredom, as we speak it, as this word falls into our heart this morning, will just disappear. It's like, whoa, I now have clarity. I can see that I've been deceived. And I can see what to do next. Okay. So my first point was that hearing the word is amazing, but it's not enough. Point number two is, unless we do what the word says, it has some serious ramifications. And this is the thing that hit me the hardest. When I read that line, don't deceive yourselves. I'm like, what? I mean, I don't know who loves being deceived by someone else. But deceiving yourself, I mean, that's like a double whammy. I mean, that's double as bad. It's like, how do you deceive yourself? And what is deception? Deception is knowing the truth, but believing something different. You're deceived. You know the truth. It's not that you didn't know the truth. The truth is the truth. You're just concealing it with a lie and pretending that that new lie, that newfound thing, that's the one. But it's not. And James is saying, if we remain hearers only, we're deceived. We can quote the scripture backwards, but we deceive. James 1, 22, 25. We've got to be doers. The hearers that is referred to there is almost like someone who joins class, not with the intention to take it, to gain the knowledge and to write the exam and to pass it. It's to audit it. It's crazy. The Greek word there actually means, I'm not a Greek student, it's just, there's some tools online. It's just like, it's someone who wants to audit the lesson. Zero intention to do it. I just want to tell you, how good is the lesson? I'm going to weigh it up on my scale. It's unbelievable. And how many of us, and maybe let's talk about our friends that are not here this morning, might have fallen away even from the gospel, might have been deceived and just hurt and broken because of stuff maybe even happening in the church, whatever the case is, but there was no shortage of the amount of YouTube preachers. And I'm just saying this respectfully, just hear what I'm saying. It's hearing the word, listening and hearing and getting and gathering more information, you know, more sermons. I mean, but no intention to do it. And what happens is we start going from, I'm not so keen on this preacher anymore. Let's go to the next preacher and maybe the next guy. Oh, I hear there's a new wind of doctrine over here. Let's go after that one. Or an author. Please, I'm preaching to myself, and for me this was a weighty word, but the life is coming. But Jesus is lifting the veil. James is just repeating what Jesus has done. And we're going to get there now. But guys, we can be deceived. If we are running and wanting to gain knowledge with zero intention of wanting to apply it, we are deceived. This is not the truth. You can try and build your house on that thing, Jesus said. But it's not going to stand. And how many houses do we know that have fallen away? Let me not run ahead of myself. I almost want to say even worse. Not only are we deceived if that happens, in James 2, 14, verse 26, it says the following. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save a man? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is it? I think that's a legitimate question. What good is that? You're cold, you're hungry, and I'm doing nothing about it. And again, this is I'm speaking to a crowd of believers. I believe most of us are saved. We love Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. We heard the message. And we would agree with this. It's terrible. Sure, someone's hungry and not giving them food, cold and not. We would agree with that. But would we wholeheartedly agree with exactly the same thing when we don't do that? It's as bad. Like this guy. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Sure, I think of Ian last week that said, you know, he was preaching on just the lack of love. We can burn our body at the stakes. We can sell everything we have, give it to the poor. We can speak in the tongues of angels. All those things, but we have not love, means nothing. Great outward public, you know, persecution and stuff. So people would be very pleased. Like, sure, that guy was amazing. He burned up his body. He gave everything away. You know, I mean, sometimes we're impressed by those things. But what about dead faith? If there's no works, it's dead. And again, this is the heavier bit, but I need to. It's almost like a couple of weeks ago, I had to go for root canal. Second one on the same tooth. I was not amped to go to the doctor. I'm not going to lie, the dentist. But this thing was just not right. I couldn't properly chew on this side. You know, these teeth are getting short. And I'd hate to have short teeth and, you know, awkward smile. I had to go. I had to go. A second time, I'm like, the first guy didn't do a proper job. But this guy had to, and he said, the previous dentist overshot the root. And it went right through and into the life. I know. It's not pretty. And it's amazing. He fixed it. But before he did anything, he numbed it. I'm so thankful for that. Otherwise, there's a taller joke I could tell around that. Like, I was half a dachim, I see a market doctor. But I won't. And for the healing to come, we have to understand the root cause of our issue. And I hope that is what I'm able to convey. Final one I want to share on this about the doing the word that is not, unless we do the word, is, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to refer to it. Oh, sorry, there's two. Matthew 7, 26 and 27, it says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Because I've read this verse so many times, but I hope by the Holy Spirit that today we can walk away saying, unless I do, Jesus said it. I'm speaking these words, but there's two types of hearers. The one who's going to just listen and walk away, like a man looking in the mirror and he walks away and he forgets what he looked like. Well, there's going to be those. It's going to take this word. It's going to take a root in their heart and it's going to come out in their doing. And please, no, I just need to say this. Also, we know works don't save us. It's by grace through faith. It's not a work of man so that we can boast. It is only through Jesus and, you know, by his grace. This does not get us there. This is once we are saved, we are now his. He's talking to a crowd of believers. I don't want to be a fool, and I don't want to have a great fall. And I'm almost also publicly asking, guys, We've got to check one another. If we see someone is on the sand, it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when. We have to, those that love our brother and our sister, those in our community, those in church, we have to be the ones that's going to go in and help lay foundation, Jesus, and build upon the truth. We have to. Otherwise, we're giving a ticket to destruction and a great fall. We don't want that. The last one is Matthew 25, 31 to 46, and this is Jesus talking about the final judgment, and everybody is gathered before him, and he splits he splits everybody in two groups, the goats and the sheep. We all know the story. The sheep is those that visited, you know, in jail, they clothed, they're cold, they gave food to the hungry, etc., etc. The others didn't. Both claim to know him. And this is Jesus at the word, and that's a hectic thing. Depart from me. You curse it into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That is huge. It's a real thing. Jesus is not mixing his words. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry, but this is the word of God. And it's like a surgeon. Right now, I believe he's working. I believe the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. And may he remind us of the things that we do know, the truths that we have once maybe held on to. Maybe we let them go. But the question is, if we're then supposed to do the word, we're supposed to do them. We just heard them. But I always want to say, the doers have all the fun. Even though we can be deceived, as I mentioned, you know, even though we can be foolish, even though our faith could be dead and all those things, for those who don't do it, the flip side of those actually just taking the word and saying, God, this is your word. I'm going to do it. I'm going to just obey. Where else do I go for the words of life? There's no one else. You're the Son of God. You came from heaven. You lived a perfect life. You died for my sin. You rose to prove that you are God. You said you are who you said you are. And you gave us your Holy Spirit so we can live this life. If we believe. Because I think every one of us knows, and this is just the gospel message, that God is holy. You expect the perfect standard, but we have sinned. We've done one thing, and we have sinned. So we need someone else to pay the penalty of that sin, which is death before God. And he's so gracious, so loving, he brings his son and says, hey, if you believe in him, he'll die in your place. And you can have life, and life in abundance. And part of that life is just us having all the fun. It's like we have his word now, which is incredible. And now we're able to just do it. So you know what the doers? Not only have all the fun, but they are solid and unshakable. Matthew 7:24 says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat his house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Guys, this is what God wants for us. For every life. This is not just for a select few. If we hear and we do, we shall be those that are solid and unshakable. Also, James 1:25 talks about that we are blessed. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perceives being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I don't know about you, but if there's anything that I want, it's the blessing of God. Just the blessing of God. And knowing that one day I'm going to hear those words, you know, good and faithful servant. Also, the bonus. You know, I'm talking about those, the doers that have all the fun. But Matthew 7:21 says that we're going to go to heaven. We just sang about his glory and how the elders are worshiping. And we're going to join the angel choirs. We're going to be in heaven with God forever. This is incredible. This is not everyone who says to me, this Matthew 7:21, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Guys, this is incredible. This is incredible. Just a few points. Look, that list is obviously a whole lot longer. But ultimately, we're the ones who inherit heaven. And we get to go to heaven. We are absolutely blessed by him, and that means so much. We can't even unpack that right now. But when God is for you, who can be against you? Nothing and no one. No circumstance. Nothing will shake us. Nothing will make us what we will be, solid as a rock. Because we hear and we believe and we do. And we honor God in that. So why obedience to God? Why is that important? 1 John 5:23, obedience to God proves our love for him. It's easy to say we love. It's almost like when John says, hey, you say you love me, but you hate your brother. You don't know me. You know, bringing like serious correction. And this is very similar. 1 John 5:23 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. Wow. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And the commandments are not burdensome. Another bit of good news. Not burdensome. They're light. Oh my goodness, they are incredible. But it proves our love for him. It proves if we say we love him, if we are Christians, we love him, and it's reflected. It just comes out in our working, in our doing, and in our acts. It demonstrates our faithfulness to him. 1 John 2, 3-6. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whomever say, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps the word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Sure. So obedience to God proves we love him. It demonstrates our faithfulness to him, because in the latter part it says, by this we may know that we are in him. Whomever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And he said, I hear and I see what my Father does and I do that. And we get to do the same thing. It demonstrates our faithfulness to God. 1 Peter 2:12. Why is obedience important to God? Well, it glorifies him in the world. 1 Peter 2:12 says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. How amazing is that? I know we might not care about what the world thinks of us, because they probably think we're crazy and, you know, nuts and probably be deceived, etc., etc. But you know what? The word is very clear here. When they see our good deeds. And it's amazing. When last have you done something to a non-believer? Just someone at work. Maybe someone in the shopping mall, you know, at the restaurant, pay for the table, you know, for their food. It's incredible how quickly, I mean, the gratitude just spills. Like, what? You did what? It's amazing. There's little things. And we as Josh Jenners, you know, we're actually really good with that. Paying for someone else's meal, maybe a cup of coffee or something. And it's incredible how that thing just, sure. You know, the word says they glorify God when they see our good deeds. Last one then is why obedience is appointed to God. It opens avenues of blessing for us. It was said in John, in James, it also says it in John 13:17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Man, it's a blessing just in doing it. I almost want to say, even if it's a blind faith, if the word says it, do it. You're blessed. Easy as that. You can figure it out later. You can have a revelation later. You don't have to pray about it. If the word says it, just do it. Boom. You know, let the spirit, let the flesh come in line with what the truth of God is. And guys, this is hard. This is where we have to help one another. If we want to be strong and unshakable and stand and glorify God, and you know, the world that sees there's something different, this is a light on a stand, this is a city on a hill, this is what is going on? Apart from, I mean, there's also this, you know, by your love for one another, they'll know me. Sure. This is, you see all the pros to this, just living the word of God. This is unbelievable. And again, there's probably a 17-part sermon in that. But anyhow, we're only at 25 minutes-ish. So, coming in for a close, three questions. Are you serious, and am I serious about the word of God and its application in my life? For each one of us. Are we really serious about it? When we hear something, we don't quickly move off. Also, in James, I'm not allowed. He says to be quick to hear, slow to talk. Someone's like, whoa, take your time. Listen. And quick is like this little intent. Just grab what you can get. Take a hold of the truth. Don't try and just hear first. There's a seriousness. When we hear it, it's like, God, how can I apply this? How can I do this? Because I know it blesses you. The world around sees it, and they will worship you. But also me, there's a blessing in just walking, and you know, the favor of walking in his will. Second question, am I doing something with the word I've heard preached? Or am I among those who hear the word, but do not act on what they have heard? Remember, we are talking about spiritual boredom in the church, in our lives. But are we doing something with it? Last question. Does God consider me to be a hearer or doer of the word? It's just a simple question. Guys, but this is supposed to bring life. For me, it's like a veil just being removed. Oh my goodness, I was deceived. I thought knowing more, studying more, getting more is going to be okay. It's not. But it's in the doing. It's in, you know, as I spoke about. So where does it leave us? Either we're rejoicing, it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus, I knew that was true. And I've been walking this thing and no one else is walking it, but I am doing it. And yes, that's why you are blessed. Or perhaps today we're saying, actually, sure, I might have to repent of the word that I knew and I didn't do it. Because the word actually says that is sin. If you know what to do and you don't do it, that's sin. I'm not going to lie, I'm guilty as charged. But then the response is, Jesus, I need to repent of that. And then we have to decide today to put into practice the word by being obedient to it. Proving the liveliness of our faith and serving those around us through love and doing good works. So the ones we repent, we turn away from actually not going to do it, and we decide today we're going to put things into practice. And we're going to encourage one another. Man, we're going to stand side by side. And look, we're not going to be perfect. Jesus was perfect. We're not perfect. But you know what I'm saying? We are going to check in with one another. We have to. That's why we can't do this alone, because the heart is deceitful above all. So, I would like to lead us in a prayer. Just a prayer for those who want to repent of knowing the word, knowing what God's will is, not doing it, and for those who want to decide today to put it into practice. If that is you, and I will lead us in a prayer, but if you want to stand with me, that would be amazing. Right now, stand with me. If you want to repent and commit to doing these things.
I just want to make this really like real for us, because I was sitting there going, this is so unbelievably good, because we would usually answer other things if we said, why are we bored? Usually we'd put the blame at someone else's feet, or, you know, at the guy leading the church's feet or whatever. But, you know, I remember when we first went to, when I first did like a fast track, which was like a Bible college. The guy said, this is the most dangerous year of your life, because you're going to get so much information, you're going to have so much knowledge, but if you don't do it, it's just going to callous you. It's going to make your heart calloused and hard. You're going to think you know it all, but you're not going to actually know it. And it's just going to make you a hearer, ever hearing, but never actually perceiving or doing it, which is such a dangerous place to be in. And we're in a church where we got so much good stuff, and it is so easy to fall into that category. So basically, if God says, has been putting it on your heart and saying, don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, and you find yourself giving in all the time to that battle of the duvet on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night or whenever, you know, church planters course or whatever, and you're just like, well, you know, I don't know, maybe, and it's just little by little, and it starts to become a habit. And it starts to become, you're calloused because you know the truth, but you're just not doing it, you know. Or maybe in your marriage, like God has been putting his finger on something and going like, you need to actually take this marriage of yours, which is struggling, and going sit with someone, submit your life to someone, get accountable, what the Bible says, submit yourselves to one another, go and open up about it and go and get input. And your wife maybe has been nagging you to do that, you know, and you're just like, don't be a dripping tap or whatever. And then you're really lost. But, you know, and it's like, come on, actually, I need to do this. I need to put it into, you know, or maybe there's the lust problem or the porn thing that is happening again, and God's going, get accountable, flee from temptation, do whatever you have to. And you're like, well, I'll do that another time. I'll admit it sometime. I'll talk to someone some other time. I'll just keep it hidden this time, you know, and God's going, and actually you just become calloused. It's so easy. You just become calloused, you know. Or maybe it's simple as like, hey, come on, go join the guys in front and lift your hands in worship and get passionate about my name and worship like I've told you over and over in the Psalms, you know. And it's like, well, maybe that's for someone else, not really for me, because I don't really like lifting my hands, or I don't really like, you know, tapping my foot or whatever. I find it embarrassing. And it's like, come on, You know, and I'm just, like, as he's speaking, I'm just thinking of so many things that are, we think they're small things, but if we start saying, no, I won't do it, no, I won't do it, no, I won't do it, it's literally like becoming this callousness. Maybe it's, hey, go and witness to that person at work. You've got to tell them the gospel. You've got to tell them about my love. You've got to just go up to them and say, Jesus loves you, you know? And it's like, oh, not today, until eventually you just stop hearing that voice prompting you for anything. And you think, and you're getting bored, like Rian says, and it's like, it's because I told you to do something. And there was going to be life and blessing that was going to come with all those little things, those little steps. Come on, you know. And so all the stuff I've mentioned now is just the Word of God. And all I'm saying is, like, please let's hear what is being said today, because this is life. The most dangerous thing you could ever do as a Christian is walk out of here without going, I am going to put that into practice. Because it's not about another great preach or another big word or another big revelation that gives me a goosebump or two or five. It's actually about, I've got to step out and just start doing it. Okay. So could we just respond to this, like, just as Rian prays? Maybe just, let's close our eyes. Those of you that need to respond, get specific, okay? I know some of us are just like, well, I know I need to probably do more. No, no, no. It's not about just you got to do more. If there's just this general, I need to do more, that's probably the devil just trying to make you feel condemned. But if you know that the Holy Spirit has actually spoken to you specifics and you're like, I know I need to do that thing he's told me, then stand up, but don't just stand. Stand up, pray, and then walk out of here in the grace of God and do it, okay?
Amen. So just between you and God, I'm just going to, lead us, and you say this. Lord, don't be afraid. Let us pray this to Jesus. Lord, I ask you to help me become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Forgive me for the times I've heard the word of God preached in power and even said amen to the message, yet failed to walk out the truth I heard or to make it a part of my life. Starting today, I make the decision to be a doer of the word of God. Holy Spirit, give me the strength and divine energy. I will need to take the word I heard or read and put it into practice in my life. I pray this in Jesus' name.